This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Get up and go breakfast.
14 before 8 o'clock on a Thursday means we get to chat with Dr. Wendy Christian, health coach and wellness practitioner at Integrated Health Solution. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Brad. I hope you're well.
I am. Are you settling well into the new space?
I am settling in. Yes, good. Thank you very much. It's been a lovely transition.
Good. So, Integrated Health Solution, having moved a little bit closer to where we are, we're almost neighbors. So, just to let you know, if you are in the northern suburbs of the Durbanville area, that's very easy to connect with Dr. Wendy. Dr. Wendy, we've been talking diets over the last few weeks. I've been waiting with anticipation for us to get to today. We've chatted around keto diets, low-carb diets, the Mediterranean diets. Find out more by visiting the K Pulpit website. Check out the podcasts, and you can catch up with the last 2 weeks. Today, paleo diets. This is one of those I seem to get a lot about in my feeds. I'd be quite curious to hear your thoughts on this particular way of eating.
Yeah. So the focus of the paleo diet is also on whole food. So a lot of these diets overlap. This one particularly eliminates grains, dairy, and processed foods. So it's not just carbohydrates. It's quite specific on what it is eliminating. Mm.
So when you say grains, somebody who's on the paleo diet, they will eat potatoes and rice, but they won't be eating bread. Would that be a good guess?
Well, no, they wouldn't have rice either. So they wouldn't have any grain. So they wouldn't have oats. They wouldn't have rice. They wouldn't have barley. They wouldn't have wheat or any grains whatsoever.
But
they can have potatoes and pumpkin and those kind of starches.
Why eliminate those grains? I'm sure there would be reasoning behind that.
Because they can be inflammatory. Ah. So the paleo aims to be an anti-inflammatory diet. It excludes the legumes and the healthy grains because of their inflammatory they can have inflammatory ingredients, or they can become inflammatory in your system. So they take those out of the diet so that you can have a clean diet so that there's nothing inflammatory. So it's basically vegetables and proteins and fats.
I'd be quite curious with this dairy conversation. I don't consume any dairy, and I seem to get people's backs up because they're telling me, how am I getting my calcium? But there are plenty of other places I can get calcium, etc. from. But for someone on the paleo diet who chooses to not have dairy, there's that question that a lot of people are asking. Isn't it essential for us to have dairy in our diets?
No, it's not essential. I think it's a little bit of a myth that you have to have dairy products to get your calcium. If you look at other foods that are high in calcium, a lot of your vegetables are high in calcium too. And so we don't need to be eating dairy products to be getting our calcium. A lot of the calcium that is available in dairy is not even that easily absorbed sometimes. So yeah, I think we definitely don't have to be having dairy to be getting calcium.
Yeah. So I just want to step into that anti-inflammatory conversation as you talk about the paleo diet. Are there people, someone who would have an inflammatory condition and would be able to benefit from perhaps following this way of eating? How would you define an inflammatory condition?
So inflammatory conditions are fairly broad. It's things that we don't always think about. So, excuse me, things like gout and arthritis, those would be inflammatory conditions. Being obese or overweight, that's inflammatory. And then any autoimmune conditions, things like fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, there are several different autoimmune conditions. Those are also all inflammatory conditions. So anybody who is struggling with any of those kind of conditions would want to maybe consider a more anti-inflammatory diet.
So I know we're only sort of broadly touching on this. If somebody says, hang on a moment, I'm struggling with rheumatoid arthritis, or yes, there's an autoimmune disease that I struggle with, I would really benefit from this, I need more information. What's the best way to go about this? I mean, can we safely just go and visit Google and say, you know, give me directions to a good paleo diet? Or is it best to sit down with someone like you because it's a personal thing?
Well, look, it is personal. And I do think that, you know, if you're looking for a specific diet, if you go to Google and say, you know, tell me about a paleo diet, Google is going to give you what a paleo diet is. There's not really going to be a lot of differences in the opinion that that Google gives you. Mm. But if you have a very specific condition, it is always good to work with a professional, because then they can tailor that diet even more, because now you might have a food sensitivity as well. And so if you are eating foods, even though they fall within that whole umbrella of the paleo diet, there might still be something in there that might be additionally inflammatory or irritating for your system. Mm. So yeah, there's a bit of tailoring sometimes that is required, but you know, to start, it's always a good idea. You know, it's not a bad idea to go and have a look and see what does Google say, what does a paleo diet entail, and then to take it from there.
When it comes to these different eating plans, we might find out, hang on a moment, I'm already pretty close to nailing it in this area. All I need to make a few small changes. So I think some people are already on the right track and can do a little with a little bit of help. But I think for the majority of us, we just sort of will eat anything as long as it satisfies our need and is not expensive. And that's not really the right way to go about it, because we're going to end up buying the cheapest food. And sadly, the cheapest food is always the most processed food.
It is the most processed, and we don't see the expense of, you know, the medical conditions that we incur by eating the cheaper foods. So yes, you know, it's swings and roundabouts. Where do you want to spend your money? Do you want to spend your money on your well-being or your health or your illness, or do you want to spend your money on nourishing your body and eating healthy foods?
Yeah, we also have to, I guess, get into that headspace of knowing not everything that's on the shelf is good for us to eat. It's there, but that doesn't mean that it's necessarily the right thing for us to be putting in our bodies. And I think that's also a difficult thing for a lot of people to do.
It is difficult. And as you said, many people are unaware, so they don't really realize the impact. They think they're eating healthy foods, but when you really have a deep dive into what they're eating, you can really pick out that there are some things in there that are not necessarily as healthy as they think.
Mm. And also eating a lot of healthy foods, you can also overeat on healthy foods, can't you, Wendy, and actually find yourself taking in too many calories and actually not losing any weight, maybe even putting on weight, just even though you're eating what's considered health foods.
Yes, exactly. So portion control is very important. Frequency of meals is important. So there's all sorts of things. It's not just what you're eating, it's how you're eating and how much of it you're eating.
So here's one. What about a plant-based or more vegetarian diet? That's very hard for us South Africans to do, but is there benefit in that?
So, you know, for some people, there is some benefit. With a plant-based eating, it focuses on including lots of vegetables, fruits, legumes, grains. You have high amounts of fiber and antioxidants in this diet because of the types of foods that you're eating. And it, the thing is, it can be very low in protein. It can be very difficult with this diet to get your complete proteins. Mm. So most times, the food combinations need to be thought out really carefully, and it can be very carb heavy, because you know, if you're not eating proteins, you've got to eat something to keep full. And so this is a type of eating plan that you could potentially gain weight on. Just because you're eating lots of carbohydrates.
Just on that, if you're consuming a lot of carbohydrates, will that not necessarily then have an effect on your blood sugar?
Yes. So blood sugar, you don't have protein to build muscle, so you can potentially lose muscle. You can feel more tired. You can have slower healing, hormonal disruption, and nutrient deficiencies as well.
Mm. And if you're not consuming meat, would there be something in meat that you're not getting that could benefit your body, any vitamins or minerals that you'll then be missing out on?
Yes, your meat products are particularly high in B vitamins and iron. We could also be deficient in things like omega-3, especially if you're not including fish and seafood in your diet. Zinc and iodine are also two other minerals that can become deficient in a plant-based diet. So supplementation is often very necessary in plant-based diets.
How would you know, just as we start to wrap this up this morning, Wendy, if you're not getting enough protein in your body or in your diet, rather, would there be any warning signs?
Well, often people become anemic, or they start getting sick frequently. You know, their immune systems don't cope well. And then you have muscle wasting, but you don't often see that, especially if you're younger and you don't necessarily see that your muscles are becoming less, or your muscle mass is becoming less. But there are ways, so you can measure your body fat composition. There's various different scales that you can use to do that. So you can monitor body composition, and then doing blood tests to check your levels of your nutrients. So you can check for iron, you can check for vitamin B12, you can check for folic acid. Those are the kind of things that can be measured in blood tests as well.
Yeah, so getting those blood tests and at least knowing those numbers can guide us to make better food choices. So we've touched on paleo, we've touched on plant-based or vegetarian. Next week, we're talking about a vegan diet, so probably on the same slant as where we've been, with a little bit more in-depth dive into what that means. What works for you? I guess that's the journey for us to decide what works best for us. But we're so grateful for the help of Dr. Wendy Christian, health coach and wellness practitioner at Integrated Health Solution. Thanks for sharing your expertise with us every week. We love that, Wendy. And many blessings to you, and have yourself a really great week.
Thank you, Brad, and the same to you.
Thanks, Dr. Wendy. We have these conversations every Thursday. We've got plenty of podcasts for you to listen to. We've already got two previous episodes in the series. Episode 3, that's today, will be available for you a little bit later on. And don't miss out on what we've got for you next week as we chat vegan diets. We're also going to be touching on intermittent fasting, the DASH diet. We'll be looking at carnivore diets, those people that say, nee man, net ou stukkie vleis is reg, dis al wat ek wil hê. And then we'll talk about just being a little bit more mindful when it comes to eating. So there's still a lot to deal with Dr. Wendy every Thursday as we go on from here. Appreciate her, and thanks for listening.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.